Begin the current daf himself, the site of daf mem. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf and of our previous Mishnah, which again we're discussing the halachas of Birchas Kohanim. So we mentioned the halacha in the previous daf that when the Kohanim are saying Birchas Kohanim, what are the people doing? They should somehow show their recognition and appreciation for the bracha that the Kohanim are giving to them, that they appreciate to Hashem. So that the Gemara explained that they say, correlating to the 3 brachas they get, the 3 different psukim of Birchas Kohanim, that the Kohanim say to them, they recite 3 psukim of praise to Hashem. Now, on that, our Gemara continues and says, Heichen Oimren. Now, where and when do the Kihila, do the Tzibur, say these 3 psukim that they're saying during the recital of the Birchas Kohanim? So, V'yesev Amar, he says, Bein kol bracha bracha, between every single bracha, that's when, so the Kohanim say one pasuk, that's one bracha, and then the Tzibur says that pasuk. And then the Kohen says the next bracha, and then they say their pasuk. Rav Sheshi Sama, he says Bahaskar Hashem, that actually when the Kohanim mention Hashem's name, that's when the Tzibur says their correlating pasuk. The Gemara actually says Pligi Ba Rav Mori Rav Zvit Machlekes Amiram regarding when you say these 3 psukim. Chadam Psuka Legal Psuka. One says that it's pasuk for pasuk. In other words, when the Kohanim say the first pasuk, so then they say one of their 3 psukim. When the Kohanim say the second pasuk, they say their second pasuk. And when the Kohanim say the third pasuk, they say their third pasuk. And so too by Musaf, so too by Mincha, and so too by Ne'ilah, as we said in the previous daf, because each one have 3 psukim. Charam, the other mandamer says, Akol psuka amar luhu l'kula. Actually, in every pasuk that the Kohen says, that's when the Tzibur says all 3 psukim. So they essentially end up saying it 9, they end up saying 9 psukim, because the 3 psukim they say by each and every one of those psukim. And again, in the previous machlekes was between Revis and Rav Sheshes, when do you say it? Whether you're saying all 3 by every pasuk or 1, do you say it at the end of the pasuk that the Kohen says, or by the Shem Hashem when the Kohen mentions Hashem's name? Now, Amar B'chi Barabbi says, however, Kala Oimran B'Gvulin, whoever says these 3 psukim of that the Tzibur recites when they hear the Birchas Kohanim, if it's out of the Beis HaMikdash, he's mistaken, because actually the whole reason why it was instituted to say the Tzibur, the psukim that we mentioned in the previous daf, was only as a sign of honor for Hashem's Shem HaMiyuchid, the Shem Havaya, that's mentioned, but that's only mentioned in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore it says, if you're going to say the psukim out of the Beis HaMikdash, it's a mistake, because that's not the purpose, it's only because of the Shem Hashem. However, Amr Reb Chanina Bar Papa, he says, that Teda, you should know, Tebemikdash Nami Lemeboy Lememrenu. In other words, he's driving home the point and saying that if you're saying it out of the Beis HaMikdash, you're definitely mistaken, because he says, actually, even in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't really should be saying these psukim, because klum yesh lucha evit shemavarcha noisi, can you imagine such a scene where there's a servant that's being blessed, ve'ena mazen, and he's not paying heed, he's not paying attention? How can you be saying psukim when you should be paying attention to the bracha that the Kohanim are saying, and therefore most definitely out of the Beis HaMikdash, where you're not even hearing the Shema Hashem, for sure you shouldn't be saying psukim, you should just be listening to the brachas and answering amen. Now, however, Amar B'acha Bar Chanina, he says that Teda, actually you should know, he says that actually that no, that even out of the Beis HaMikdash, that the psukim should be said. Because klum yesh evich mevarcha noisai, what do you mean? Do you think there's a servant that's being blessed, ve'ein mazbe upon him, and he doesn't show some type of recognition to his master who is blessing him, that it's significant and it's pleasurable for him, and that he wants to show some type of reciprocation? Of course he should. And therefore he's saying now to the contrary, that that's not the case, because actually don't say that you shouldn't even say it in the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, you should even say it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara says in practice that, however, Amr Bavo said, Mirei Shava Min Elohu, originally that I said these psukim as we had mentioned in the previous daf, this halacha. But kivin chazina le Reb Abba de Min Akri. The Loi Amalu, he says, but once I saw that Reb Abba, who is from Akri, didn't say these 3 psukim, so I also stopped saying these psukim. Now, similarly, from V'amar Bavo, relating to that, his deference to Reb Abba from Akoi, and also what he had previously done, the Gemara says the following statement. Reb Bavo said, V'amar Bavo, Mirei Shavamina, originally I had said, that An V'sona Ana, that I am a humble person. Now, Kivin the Chazina le the Reb Abba de Menaka, but once I noticed and I saw by Reb Abba from Akoi, the Amar Ihu Chad Taima, that he, when he was giving his drush, his lecture, He gave one understanding of the halacha. Va'ama amayre, and his spokesman, his translator that would speak it out for the public to hear what he was whispering to his speaker, he was like some type of amplifier for the people to hear and to translate. His interpreter said chadtaima, said a different reason to the people. V'lo kapir, and Rabbi Abba was not particular about it because that was also true. I said that I am not someone that's humble. That is something that epitomizes humility, because here he says one interpretation and his interpreter says a different interpretation and he's okay with it and it doesn't bother him. He says, now that's really what it means to be true about how you manifest in with other people and not being particular, that it has to be the way you had thought of it originally. Now, but the Gemara wonders, so what is, however, the humility of Rabbi Avo? In other words, he thought that he was humble, and he realized that he wasn't even being totally himself, that it was still something of what one would call ego there in the way, but Rabbi Abba from Akka showed him what it really is, but what was the humility of Rabbi Avo himself? So the Gemara says, "De'amrla devesu da'amayr Rabbi Avo," because the wife of the interpreter of Rabbi Avo said, "Devesu Rabbi Avo," said to Rabbi Avo's wife, Hadidan le tzarch le lididach. Mine, I mean my husband, doesn't really need your husband. In other words, he's just as smart as a sage as your husband. Now, v'hai degach and v'zokif aleh. This, however, that he bends down and he comes up to listen to your husband and then interpret his words to the people. Is yikir ba'amahu da'avad leh. It's just an honor that he's showing for your husband, as we'll later on show, because Bavo was close to the king, and in other words, they're just showing some type of a deference to your husband, but don't think it's because your husband's a bigger Talmud Chacham than my husband. So, Azal Devesu of Amr Leila Rebavo. So, Rebavo's wife went and told her husband, Rebavo, what his interpreter's wife had told her. So, Amalas, he said to his wife, Umay Nafkilach Mina, what's the difference to you? Mini Umine Yiskalasila, from me and from him will Hashem's name be glorified. Again, the same concept of what true humility is. It doesn't mean not being anything. It means to say that it's you, seeing oneself in the larger context. What's the difference if it's coming from me? As long as Hashem's name is being glorified, the name of Hashem's Torah is being disseminated, doesn't make a difference. Doesn't have to be that I get the credit. So moreover, the Gemara continues regarding the humility of Rebbe Avo. Rebbe Avo im the Rabbanan Ale. The Rebbe Avo, the rabbis had counted and voted to appoint him to be the head of the academy. But once he noticed again from this Rebbe of Akkoi that he had a lot of creditors. In other words, he had to borrow money and he owed a lot of money. So he said to the rabbis, Ikarabba, there's someone that's great, that's a big sage, that's fitting to sit and to be the Rosh Hashiva more than me. And because he wanted him to become the Rosh Hashiva, why? Because someone that becomes a Rosh Hashiva or the Rav, so they have to give him gifts and make him wealthy so that he should be someone distinguished and that people should listen to him, as the Gemara says in Masechta Yumah, similarly by the Kohen Gadol, he's called in the Pasuk, HaKohen HaGadol Me'echav, which means to say that it's the Echav, it's the brothers that make him great, meaning Me'echav could be translated than or from, because that the brothers, the rest of the Jewish people, have to support him and make him great so that people should look up with respect to him. So that's why he wanted Reb Abba to become the Rosh Hashiva so that he could be supported and not owe all that money to his creditors. Again, continuing on the theme of Reb Avo's great humility, the Gemara brings the following incident. Reb Avo, Reb Chiya bar Abba, iklo lahu hasto. They went to a certain place. Reb Avo darish bagadato. So Reb Avo, when he was lecturing, he lectured on homiletic teachings, agadato. He was lecturing on laws and judgments and what's prohibited and things that are regarding purity. So everyone left Reb Chiya bar Abba's lecture. And they went to Reb Avo. So Reb Chiya bar Abba was bothering him that no one came to his shir and everyone went to Reb Avo's shir. So Amalei, Reb Avo said to Reb Chiya bar Abba, he said, look, let me give you a parable that could compare what happened over here. To two people, one was selling precious jewels, and the other one selling some type of small utensils that are necessary for women and poor people, like sewing materials and needles and all these different types of things. on who do they go to jump and to purchase from? Loy al zeh shemeichem mini sitkis. Isn't everyone going to go and buy from the one that has all the little tchotchkes? Because it's cheap, it's easy, it's convenient, and these are things that people want, and therefore there's a lot of people that are purchasing him. But really, who has the real jewels is the other guy, and it's just that people can't afford it, that it's hard for them to be able to get to. And therefore, Bavo was telling this to Rechib Rabba to appease him, to say, your share was scraped jewels, and mine was this little things, and people come and they enjoy it. However, the Gemara tells us that Kalyema have a malva Reb Chiya Bar Abba Reb Avo Adish Pisa. Every single day, Chiya Bar Abba would escort Reb Avo till where he was staying, to his lodgings. The reason for this was Mishum Yikud Debe Kesar, because of the honor of the Caesar, which is that Reb Avo was close to the royalty. As the Gemara says in many different places, Mesat Chagigim, Mesat Sanhedrin, so as a shine of deference, Chiya Bar Abba would escort Reb Avo. But that day, when this incident happened, that it went the other way around. Rebbevo, to appease Reb Chiya Bar Abba, escorted Reb Chiya Bar Abba to where his lodgings were. But still, he wasn't appeased, even with that whole marshal and being walked home, still wasn't appeased that here it was, he gave his share and no one came and never went to Rebbevo's share. Now, resuming the discussion of the Nesias Kapayim, so in related halacha, we said that Nesias Kapayim, when the Kohanim are giving their brachas to the Jewish people, what are you doing just sitting there? You have to respond in kind as an appreciation for what the Kohanim are saying. So similarly, the Gemara says, "Bizman sheshlich tzibo oimim moedim." When the shots, when the one who's down for the Amid, when he's repeating the Chazar Sashatz, and he's saying, "Moedim ha'am mahim oimim." So what do the people say when the shlich tzibo is saying moedim? So Amarav, Rav says what's commonly known as Moedim Drabbanan, that the people say, Moedim Anachnu Lach Hashem Lekeinu, we give thanks to Hashem our God, Al She'anu Moedim Lach, for this that we give you thanks. In other words, that this that you inspired us, that you gave in our heart, this desire to attach ourselves to you and to give you thanks, we thank you for that. That's the thanks that we give during when the Shlich Tzibah is saying Moedim. Shmuel Amar, he says, and he adds on, and truthfully, all of them are adding on to the primary text. I mean, in other words, the primary text of Moedim Drabbanan, which one should have kavana, is that we're giving thanks to Hashem that we give you thanks. In other words, because it's all coming from you anyway. But Shmuel just adds on more words into that text. He says, Elekecha Basa, God of all flesh. Again, and it ends, Al She'anu Moedim Lach. So in other words, he says, like Rav, we thank you, Hashem, our God, who's the God of all flesh. What do we give you thanks for? Al She'anu Moedim Lach. So to Reb Simoy, and Reb Simoy says, again, also adding on, he adds on more words, not just Elekecha Basa, but Yitzreinu Yetzer Bereishis, our creator, the creator of the beginning of the world. Again, ending, like Rav had originally said, Al She'anu Moedim Lach, that we thank you for this, that we thank you. Now, Ardoi Amri Mishmed Reb Simoy, they say in the name of Reb Simoy, more words, Barachos v'adois l'shem ha'gadol, blessings and thanks to your great name. Al shech yisonu v'kemtonu, for this that you have kept us alive and sustained us. And again, what are we giving thanks to you for? Al she'anu moedim lach, for this that we thank you. Ravacha b'Yaakov m'sayim b'hachi, he concluded this moedim drabbanim with the following words, with more words. Kein t'chayenu, meaning just like we're giving you blessing and thanks for this that you have sustained us up until now, so kein techayenu, so too should you keep us alive, uschanenu, and give us favor, v'skabtzenu, and you should gather us, v'sesav galiseinu l'chaz keshecha, and you should gather our exiles to your holy courtyard, l'shmer chukecha v'las v'tenecha b'lev v'shalom, to safeguard your statutes and to do your will with a full heart. Again, ending, also on the Moedim Lach again, which is the primary text, what we were saying thanks for is for this, that we give you thanks. Now, Amar Papa says, so since there's all these different versions and all these different additions to the text, he says, Hilkach Nimrin L'Kula, therefore we should say all of it, which it is, the Nusach and our Moedim D'Rabbanan, that we say all these different words in the Moedim D'Rabbanan, which is what we say when the Shlich Tzibur is saying Moedim. Continuing regarding the halachas of this Mishnah, regarding Birchas Kan, the Gemara says, Amar Bitzchak, says La'olam tehei emas tzibra lecha. There should always be the awe of the tzibra, of the public, upon a person. In other words, you should see the chashibas, the recognition of the distinguishment of the people, and the proof is shehar kahanim penem klapeyam. The Kahanim, when they give Birchas Kahanim, they're facing the people, v'achareim klap yishchin, and their back is towards the divine presence, I mean towards the Aron HaKodesh. So you see the deference you have to the people that you're even giving them precedence over the Aron, the Sefer Torah that's behind you. V'nachman amam hachi, he gives a different source of pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph that says, v'yakum ha-melech David al raglav v'yemer. David HaMelech stood up on his feet and he said, Shemu'uni achei v'yami. Listen to me, my brothers, my people. And that was at the time when he was warning them, that he was telling them that they should donate for the funds to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the question that is asked is, Im achei lo ma'ami. If he's calling them my brothers, why is he calling them my people? And Im ami lo ma'achei, if he's calling them my people, why is he calling them my brothers? So Amr Blazi says that Amalim David Yisrael, what David HaMelech was telling to the Jewish people was as follows. Im atim shoyimli, if you listen to me, in other words, to be wholesome with Hashem, so then achai, then you're my brothers, you're like my colleagues. That's what atim, that's what you are. Now, therefore, we see from there that the aima of the tzibur was even on the king. If they're upstanding, he shows them like as if you're my equals. So there's an aima satzibur over here, even from David HaMelech, from the people to David HaMelech. Now, that was if you're going to keep what you need to do, then you're achai. If not, ami atim, then you're my people. In other words, you're under my dominion. And vani roi de eschem emakom, I'm going to chase you. I'm going to subdue you with a stick. In other words, I'm going to force you to do what you need to do. But again, we see this concept of ema satzibur. Rabbanan ami mahacha. The Rabbanan say a different source, because there's halacha that says the ein hakahan mishoyim lalis b'sandalein leduchan, that the Kahanim are not permitted to go up to the platform to say Birchas Kahanim with their sandals, with their shoes on. And b'zeu echad mitesha takanah shehiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. This is one of the nine ordinances that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted. Now, my time, what's the reason? Says the Gemara, la b'shem kabit tzibur, isn't because of the honor, the dignity of the people, and that is because when he stretches out his hands to do Birchas Kahanim, so his garments that are made exactly to fit down to the ground, you don't want it to be dragging because then you're going to be stepping on it. So then when he stretches out his arms, his garment gets lifted up and his sandals get shown to the people. Now, that's not appropriate for the people to have to see that because it's muddy and dirty like sandals do, especially in Talmudic times where the roads were all muddy. And therefore, so we see that why you're not allowed to go ahead and duchen with your sandals on, because it's not appropriate for the honor of the tzibur. So you see, there has to be an ema of the tzibur on the person. On that, Rav Ashi says, Loi, no, there's no proof from that halacha. Hasam, that's the reason why you're not go up to duchen with your sandals, with your shoes, is for a different reason. Shema nifsiko le'ritzu b'sandale, because maybe the kayin's straps of his shoes had become detached. Now, it's embarrassing for himself, and people might laugh at him when they see his shoe is like that. So, v'hadar azal l'miktri, so when he's going to get up to duchen, then people are going to start laughing at his shoes, he's going to go ahead and to go down to tie and fix that strap. And in the interim, his friends, the rest of the kama, are going to be doing birchas kainam. V'amri, and the people are going to say, oh, ben gerusha bechalutzahu, he's the son of a divorcee that married a kohen, or the son of a chalutza that married a kohen, which makes him an inappropriate kohen, that's not fit to do nesias kapayim, and that's why he went and he sat down, and which is not really the case, he just went to fix his shoes, so that we don't allow the shoes in the first place, so that we avoid a suspicion on a kohen of him being an inappropriate and invalid kohen, being a ben gerusha ben chalutza. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from our mission that said that although that it's three brachas, each of the three psukim is a different bracha of Berchas Kayanim, and after each bracha, the people say Amen, but Rebbe Mikdash bracha achas b'chul b'nin. Based on Mikdash, it was said as in one long bracha and not as three separate brachas. So we continue our Talmud Beis, where the Gemara asks, b'kol kach lama, why is this? Why isn't it in the Beis HaMikdash that instead of saying as three brachas, they said it as one bracha? So the Gemara answers, L'fisha ein oinin amen b'mikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash they don't answer amen. And therefore there's no interruption between each one of the psukim. Hence, it's just said together as one long bracha. That's why it's like one bracha, not as three. So the Gemara brings Tarbon, L'in the Braisa, Meinayin she'ein oinin amen b'mikdash. From where do we know that in the Beis HaMikdash they wouldn't answer amen, and therefore there's no hefsek? So we view it as one bracha, not as three brachas. Shnema, like it says the pasuk in Nechemiah. It says, Kumu, get up, uvarchu es Hashem alekechem, and bless Hashem your God. Where what it was is that by every single bracha that they would make in the Beis HaMikdash, their nusach, their text was Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam, from this world to the next world, and Magen Avraham, or Mechayim Meisim. And therefore, we see that their text was different. Now, moreover, says the Braisa, Uminayin shall call bracha, bracha tehillah. How do you know that on every single bracha, there has to be some type of a praise from the people that are hearing the bracha that's being mentioned in the Beis HaMikdash? Shneimak, it says a pasuk there at the end of that pasuk that we just quoted, says, Vivorchu Shem Kvaidecha, and they will bless your honorable name. Which is that the rest of the people, they say what's called Baruch Shem Kvaid Machus Eloi Lam Voed, which is, that's what it means. I mean, Baruch Shem Kvaid, which is what this pasuk is saying, blessing your honorable name, Malchusai of his kingdom, lo'ilam void forever, which is that the people are answering as a type of a praise and of a thanks. So we see that they answered Baruch Shem Kivayim Malchusai void and not Amen as is normally done, which Taisa still wonders. So okay, so they didn't say Amen in the Beis HaMikdash, but they said Baruch Shem Kivayim Malchusai lo'ilam void. So why is it that you're saying that they said it as one long bracha? It should still be three brachas. Instead of saying Amen, they said Baruch Shem Kivayim Malchusai lo'ilam void. Says Taisa that maybe when they heard the ineffable name, Hashem's four-letter name, which was only mentioned, the Shem HaFurish in the Beis HaMikdash, then immediately they would answer Baruch Shem Kivoyed Machus Eloilam Vod. And they wouldn't wait till the end of the Pasuk. Now, therefore, since there was no interruption between the Pesukim, because they don't answer Amen, they only say Baruch Shem. But they didn't wait till the end of the Bracha, they said Baruch Shem right away and they heard Hashem's name, so therefore there's no interruption, therefore it would be said consecutive to three Pesukim, and that's why it was like one Bracha in the Beis HaMikdash and not three Brachas. And just concludes the brisa, and the pasuk says, "Vivarach Hashem kevedecha umareimim al kabarachasila," and elevated on every single blessing and praise. What that means is a kabaracha bracha tein l'tila. It means to say that every single blessing you have to give praise. In other words, we don't wait till after all the brachas are finished to say Baruch Hashem kevedecha umareimim al. Rather, every single bracha had its corresponding praise from the people that heard the bracha that was being mentioned in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, going back, this is all going back to the original Mishnah that opened up this parak of Elu Nemarin, that there are certain things that have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, and some that can be said in every language. So continuing with another thing that had to be said in Lashon HaKodesh was Birchas Kohen Gadol, the blessings that the Kohen Gadol would make on Yom Kippurim, after that he finished doing the Avodah, which only he could do, the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. Then he would read from the Torah, as the Mishnah is going to explain. And then when he finished, he would make eight brachas, as again the Mishnah is going to explain these brachas. So, and that is what the Mishnah is coming to explain. Ketzad, what is these brachas that again we mentioned in the first Mishnah has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh? What was the procession? So the Mishnah says Chazna Knesses, which is commonly called the Shamish, the attendant of the shul, who he's busy taking care of all the basic needs of the shul. He brings in or takes out or takes apart the bima and he prepares everything. So he would be noitel sefer Torah. He would go ahead and take the sefer Torah. V'noisna l'roish haknesses. He would then go ahead and bring it to the head of the shul, which could commonly be called the gabbai, meaning he's the one that decides all the things of the shul. In other words, who gets mafter and who davens for the amid. V'roish haknesses noisna l'sgan. Now then, the head of the shul would get. Then he would go ahead and bring it and give it to the skan, who he was the one that was prepared in place of the Kohen Gadol. That means to say, if any invalidating factor happens to the Kohen Gadol that he can't do the Avodah, he's then prepared to be the second one to step in. So he was the one that received the Torah from him. And then Baskan, noisim the Kohen Gadol, and then the deputy, he was the one that gave it then to the Kohen Gadol. And then the Kohen Gadol, oimid umakaba vakar. So then after the Kohen Gadol received it, he would stand up, and he would receive it, and he would then go ahead and read from the Sefer Torah. So first he would read from Sefer Vayikra, that's the parasha of Achrei Mois, which that's in the beginning, which is, he only reads the first parasha, which talks about the order of Yom Kippurim. Then he reads V'ach Ba'aser, which is what's commonly called the parasha of Shorei Chesev, which is read on Yom Tovim, which it says over there, the Inuim of Yom Kippurim, the certain afflictions and regarding the prohibition of doing Malacha, which is not so far from the parasha over there in Achrei Mois, which is that the Sefer Torah could be quickly rolled to the next place during the time that the Meturgeman, which again in Talmudic times that's what it was, that the translator would translate the Pesukim that were being read. So when the last Pesuk was read and the translator is still translating, there's not going to be an interruption from when the Meturgeman finishes translating to the time when they really got to the next Parsha of Ach Ba'aser. And therefore it's not a disgrace for the Tzibur to have to wait for the rolling. Now, although that the Kohen Gadol is going to read a third parasha of Parasha Ba'aser, which is in Sefer Bamidbar, that is going to read by heart, and they're not going to roll the Sefer Torah to the end. The reason for that is because that's already very far. Here we're in Bayikra, that's in Bamidbar, and it's going to take a while from when the Meturgaman finishes translating, and everyone's going to just be silent and waiting over there, and they're not going to have been started with the next Pasuk yet. That's a disgrace. And therefore, there was only these first two parishes that were read from the Sefer Torah. So after that, he reads V'ach Ba'aser, he's V'goyel Esad Torah, he rolls up and closes up the Sefer Torah, U'manich V'cheker V'ayim, and he puts it in his chest area, and he says, Yesu Mimash Shekaris Lefneichem, he says, more than what I read from you, from the Sefer Torah, Kosov Kan, is written over here. In other words, that although, as we're going to see, I'm going to end up reading another third parsha, don't think that because it was missing these words from this Sefer Torah, that's why I rolled it up and didn't read from it. It's not true. More than what I read from you from this Sefer Torah is written here. And the Gemara asks, why does he have to give this whole disclaimer? And the Gemara answers, because we don't want people to make rumors about the Sefer Torah and say that it's not a full and complete Sefer Torah. So therefore, he makes that announcement. And then, U'ba'aser shebachum mashapikudim, then the parasha of Be'aser, which is regards to the 10th day of Tishrei regarding Yom Kippur, which talks about the Karbonos Musaf of Yom Kippur, which again, this is in Sefer Bamidbar, that was Kar Al Peh, that he read by heart, again, because of the time span that's going to take for the gap from when the Meturgaman finishes till they roll, and therefore it's not appropriate for the Tzibur, so he just says it by heart. Then when he finishes reading these three parashas, U'mevarch Aleh Shemayin Brachas, he makes eight concluding blessings on what he just did, Ala Torah, which is like any reading of the Torah, when the person finishes reading, he makes a bracha of Asher Nasalon Torah's Emes, the bracha after the reading of the Torah. Vala Avoida, on regards to the service of the Avoida that he just did in Yom Kippur, which is the bracha of Ritzei. Vala Adoya, regarding the thanks, which is the bracha we know as Moedim. Now the reason why he's saying Moedim over here is because since he finished his Avoida, as we just said, that's why he says Ritzei. So the halacha is that you can't have avodah without thanks, as the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph, based on the pasuk Zveach Toide Yichabdenani, which is that after zvicha, after slaughtering, after the avodah, then you need to have toide, you need to give thanks to Hashem. Then he says another bracha of Al Machilas Oven regarding the forgiving of sins. Again, it's Yom Kippur, where that's the bracha we know as Atah Bechartanu, which is a bracha you say on every Yom Tiv. Just on the Yom Tov Yom Kippur, the conclusion is Melech Moichil B'Tzeilech L'Avinaseinu, that we bless you, Hashem, who is the King who forgives and atones for the sin, our sins of Avonis Amoy, and for the sins of all the Jewish people. Then he makes another bracha of Ala Mikdash on the temple, where he davens for the Beis Hamikdash, and he ends off Baruch Ashabacha B'Mikdash, who has chosen the Beis Hamikdash, Val Yisrael, and he davens for the Jewish people, where he concludes the bracha Baruch HaBeicha B'Am Yisrael, blessed is he who chose the Jewish people. And also Val Kahanim, regarding the Kahanim, Val Yerushalayim, and the Bracha on Yerushalayim, which the Gemara Masech the Saita, Talmud Yerushalmi, explains what these Brachas are, and Vashar Tefila. And then the rest, he has a Bracha for the rest of the Tefila, which the Gemara explains what is that Bracha. Again, those are the eight Brachas, again, which we said have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, the Gemara makes an inference, Shamat Mino, we can infer from this that we learned in the Mishnah, that first the Shamish goes and takes the Sefer Torah. Then he gives it to the Gabbai. Now, it doesn't say that the Shamish gives it straight to the Kohen Gadol. Rather, he first honors the Rosh HaKnesses, what we call the Gabbai, before the Skan and before the Kohen Gadol. And then the Rosh HaKnesses doesn't give it straight to the Kohen Gadol. He gives it first to the Skan and then to the Kohen Gadol. So you can infer from there, Chilkin Kavod L'Talmid B'Makom HaRav, that you could distribute honor to a student in the presence of his own teacher. In other words, a lesser dignitary, a lower down student, could give honor to someone greater, a greater student than him, even though their rabbi, their common rav, is there, and it's not considered a disgrace for the rav. Which, again, the point what the Gemara is trying to make is that we find anonymous Mishnah, like the opinion who says that you could do that, which is a machlekes in Masechtas Baba Basra Daf Kofi Tesmah Beis. So then Abaye says no. Says truthfully, you could say that you're not chelkin kavod. You can't give honor to a student when the rabbi is there. But here, kula mishum kavod de kohen gadol hu. Here, all these steps are actually all increasing the honor of the kohen gadol, of the rabbi. Because actually we're showing that the levels and the gradations that we're going through till we get to the kohen gadol, it's all showing that how greater he is than all these people. So it's actually not considered chelkin kavod in the Talmud Bakam Rav. It's all considered part of giving honor to the Rav. Now the Mishnah said, so when it finally gets to the from the skan given to the kohen gadol, it says the kohen gadol oimid, then the kohen gadol gets up, umakabel, he receives the Torah, and bakari, then he reads the parashas that he does with chulu, etc. Now the Gemara makes an inference. Oimid, saying that he stands up, mechlal, the inference is the yeshiva that up until now he was sitting. And this is talking about in the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Gemara, Balmamar, but the master said, in yeshiva ba'azara, there is no sitting allowed in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason being is because it's not considered honorable for Shemayim, for heaven, for Hashem. And actually, as Rashi brings it, even the ministering angels don't sit over there. As it says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, that Oimdim, that they stand over there. The only ones that are allowed to sit over there are from the house of David, of their royal line. That is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to apportion for them their honor to show that the Malchus Beis David is considered whole and they could even sit in the Azar. Shanim, like it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, V'yavei HaMelech David v'yeshev l'fnei Hashem, that the King David came and he sat in front of Hashem, and said, who am I, etc. So the only one that could sit in front of Hashem is Malchus Beis David. But here we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. How could it say that he stands up as if he was sitting, but you can't sit in the area of the Beis HaMikdash? So that the Gemara says, could Amar Rav Chisda. Like as the Gemara will later on bring, that Rav Chisda says, in another context, that it was told by Ezra's Nashim in the women's courtyard, Hachanami Be'ezra's Nashim here also, that it's the Kohen Gadol is reading from the Sefer Torah in the women's courtyard. Now that was considered chayil, not kodesh, like the rest of the Temple Mount of the Har HaBayis, because the sanctity given to the area of the Beis HaMikdash of the Machne Shechina was only from the wall and inward, and even the door space of the Shar Nikonah, of Nikonah Gate, which goes up from the area of the Ezra's Nashim to Ezra's Yisrael, even that wasn't Niskadish, definitely the Ezra's Nashim itself, and therefore that's not a problem why he was sitting, because it was talking about in the women's courtyard, not in the Ezra's Yisrael itself. Now, on that the Gemara says Meisevei, which actually the Marav Ranchberg brings here on the side. The idea here is to say the word the Tanya, like Luna Braisa. In other words, we're supporting this idea that we said from Rav Chisda. We see the same idea illustrated as follows. It says in the Braisa, Behechen Karimbay, where was it that they would read the Parsha of Hakel, which was what was read by the king at the end of the Shemitah year and the beginning of the eighth year. Once every 7 years, he would read from the Torah for from Sefer Devarim, Mishnah Torah for the whole of all the Jewish people. So where was that read? So the Tanakhama says Ba'azar in the courtyard. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he says Bahar Abayis on the Temple Mount. Shnem like it says the pasuk in the Chemya. As we continue atop of Memalv and Menalv, it says V'yikru boi lefnei Aruchev, that he read from it in front of the open area. Asher lefnei Shahar Maim, that's before the gate of the water. Now, one thing that we see is that, at least according to the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, that they would read from the Sefer Torah for the people in the Azar, in the courtyard, which the Gemara assumes that it was whenever they would read from the Sefer Torah, not just the Melech, which, yes, the Melech could sit even in the Azar, but the assumption is that the same thing was that's where the Kohen Gadol would read from. Now, the problem is, but that means to say that where he read was where he was sitting, and again, as we had asked the question before, you can't sit in the Azar. So this is where we had quoted from before when we said Amar Rav Chisda says Be'ezras Nasha. When we said the Azar, we didn't mean what the Azara of the Ezras Yisrael. There were a few different areas called the Azar, not the Ezras Yisrael, which is the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash itself, but rather a further area out towards the outer area of the Har HaBayis, which was the Ezras Nashim. There's an area that's considered a Chayil, and therefore that's where they would read from, and that's where even the Kohen Gadol could sit, and that's why it's not a problem that it says that he stood up, because yes, he was sitting up until now before he was reading from the Sefer Torah, because it was in the Ezra's Nashim, which is Chayil.